Parshas Emor. I'd like to discuss tonight, if I may, the upcoming Yom Tov, the special day of Lag BaOmer, which is, of course, in Yonah D'Yomer, because it's going to be next week on Tuesday. And, of course, Parshas Emor deals with the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer. So, therefore, this is a very timely subject to discuss. It's clear that Lag BaOmer is a special day. Poskim bring down, the Chaya Odom writes that it's considered and it's called the Yom Dehilula. The Hilula of Rav Shimon ben Yochai. Now, what does that mean, Hilula? So many understand this to mean, the Chidah and others quote early sources, and they say that Rav Shimon ben Yochai actually passed away on that day. He passed away on Rav Shimon on Lag BaOmer. Others contend this, and they say, no, he never passed away on Lag BaOmer. Rather, it's the day that his Rebbe, Rav Akiva, began teaching him Torah. Either way, this day, as we know, is very much associated with Rav Shimon ben Yochai, and it's a celebration of his life, and in particular, of the Torah that he was megala to us. It's interesting to note, the Shulchan Aruch tells us, that Purim will always fall out on the same day of the week as Lag BaOmer, with the obvious common denominator being that Purim, as we know, a day also is a celebration of Torah. Purim Kimu V'Kidlu, so too Lag BaOmer, as we just mentioned, is a celebration of Torah, and in particular of Rav Shimon ben Yochai's Torah. So I'd like to spend maybe a few moments tonight to look at the life and legacy, really, of Rav Shimon ben Yochai, and to see what it is that maybe we can learn and apply to our own day-to-day lives. Much of what I'd like to share with you tonight, I actually saw in a sefer that I have at home. The sefer is called Mizmor LeDavid. Mizmor LeDavid is a compilation of various droshes that were delivered by Rav David Kohen. Rav David Kohen is currently one of the Rosh Hashivas in the Chevra Yeshiva on the Me'etzes G'dayli Yisrael. And he has there a very lengthy, quite unbelievable piece about Rav Shimon ben Yochai. And I want to take small pieces from his phenomenal drosha, and maybe we'll add one or two points of our own in order, Be'ezras Hashem, to develop a picture and a message concerning Rav Shimon ben Yochai. So, of course, the obvious place that we must start is the famous story in the Gemara in Shabbos. Now, the story, I think, is very famous, but perhaps the last line of the story is not so famous, and it's that last line that I'd really like to examine. The Gemara tells us, and of course everybody points out, which daf of Shabbos is this? Well, which other daf would it be? Lag, Lamed Gimel, Lag BaOmer. The Gemara in Shabbos, daf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, tells us the story. Rav Shimon ben Yochai was in trouble, as it were, with the Romans, with the Malchus there, and he was forced to escape. So he goes, he enters the cave together with his son, Reb Elozer. How is he sustained in this cave? It's miraculous. He's sustained with a carob tree. There is a canal of water, a stream of water from which he has to drink. And that's how he's managed, he's able to subside, he's able to live there. As we know, because he was in hiding, he had to conceal himself completely. So Chazal say that he dug himself a hole, as it were, together with his son, Reb Elozer, and they were up to their necks in sand, and that's how their goof was covered. They were in this cave, obviously learning Torah, for 12 years, and eventually the time came for them to leave. Eliyahu HaNavi told them, it's time for them to leave. Why? Because they said that the king, the Caesar, from whom they were escaping, has now died. In which case, there's nothing for you to fear, and you can finally leave the cave where you'll be safe. So they exit the cave, and they saw that somebody is busy plowing the land. And Rav Shimon ben Yechai was horrified, and he says, how can it be that they are being oisik b'chaye sho'o? What does that mean, b'chaye sho'o? With instant life, rather than chaye oilom, eternal life. Why are they plowing their land? They had reached such an exalted status that everything they looked at immediately just burned in front of them. A bas koel, a heavenly voice emerges and says, one moment, have you left the cave just to cause absolute havoc over here in my creation, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Go back into the cave. They go back into the cave, and they're there for another year. Eventually, a heavenly voice emerges and says once again, it's time to come out. When eventually they came out, it says there that they saw it was Erev Shabbos, and this is the line that I mentioned before, is perhaps not such a famous part of the story. They saw somebody holding two hadassim, and they asked him, what are these? And he said, it's the Kovod Shabbos. You know why I'm holding two? Zochor v'shomer. To which Rav Shimon ben Yechai said to his son, wow, kamo chavivin mitzvahs al Yisrael. Look how Klal Yisrael cherish their mitzvahs. And the Gemara's last two words of the story are, Yosef da'atayhu, they were then calmed down. As opposed to when they left the cave a year before, when they were very upset. Why are people involving themselves in plowing the land? Worldly matters. But here they saw that Klal Yisrael are involved in mitzvahs. Yosvi datayu, they had Yishuv Hadas, they became calm. So the simple understanding is, of course, as opposed to the first time when they saw people being involved in Gashmias, but now they saw people being involved in Ruchnias, Chavivas HaShabbos, and that's why they were appeased. What we'd like to try and suggest this evening, it says specifically in the Gemara that which mitzvah are we dealing with? The mitzvah of Shabbos. Why is the mitzvah of Shabbos? Why was it when he saw that Klal Yisrael so were mechavev the mitzvah of Shabbos, that's what took it to be miyashev daitan, that's what calmed them down? It's not generally, as maybe we could read superficially, generally chivuv ha-mitzvahs. The specific example of the Gemara is Shabbos. So clearly, there must be something unique to Shabbos that caused Rav Shimon and his son Ibelozer to be calmed. So obviously, in order to deal with this question, we really need to understand why were they upset first time when they left the cave, and then we can understand what is the nature of Shabbos, and Bezras Hashem will understand then why it was that when they saw Klal Yisrael cherish the mitzvah of Shabbos, that they eventually had Yishuv Hadas. In order to understand Rav Shimon ben Yechai's entire outlook on life, we turn to a Gemara in Brachos of Lamed Hei. Those who are in our Gemara share will of course remember we learned this recently in Ketzad Mevarchim. The Gemara tells us as follows, and we need to learn and be medayek the Gemara very carefully. We say every day in Shema, Va'osafta degonecha, you will gather your grain. So what does that mean, you will gather your grain? So the Gemara tells us that Rabbi Yishmael understood that the Pasuk is to be understood literally. You have to gather your grain. You have to work in the land. You have to toil, and eventually you will gather your grain. Says Rav Shimon ben Yechai, the famous line, and this is really what encapsulates his whole Hashkofas HaChayim, Odom Chayresh Bashas Harisha? Is a person really going to plow during plowing season? V'zoreya b'shas zriya, and he's going to be involved in sowing the land, and in reaping the land, and in threshing. Torah ma tehei oleho. If he's busy, so busy working the land, what's going to be with Torah? What's going to be with Torah? In other words, Rav Shimon Yochai says, I refuse to translate the pasuk literally v'osafta degonecho as if to say that this is an instruction from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, go and work the land. How can that possibly be? What's going to be with Torah? Says Rav Shimon ben Yochai, when Klal Yisrael are being oisin retzoinoi shel mokoi, when they are fulfilling the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they will not need to work in the land. To the contrary, their work, nasis alidei acherim, other people will work for them. They will have their parnosa for free. However, when they are not being oisir retzoinoi shel mokoi, that's when they will have to work the land, and that's what it means, v'osafta degonecho. V'osafta degonecho isn't an instruction from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you must go and gather the grain. To the contrary, the Torah is teaching us that in the event that you're not being oisei retzoinei shel mokoim, you will have to gather your grain. I'm not instructing you this is what you must do, but realize this is what you're going to end up doing if you're not oisei retzoinei shel mokoim. So here we have a phenomenal machloikus between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Rabbi Yishmael tells us, you have to go and work the land. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us. Meanwhile, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai says, no, not at all. It cannot be that this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us, to go and work the land, because Torah ba tehei oleho. What's going to happen with Torah? It can't be that that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. Rather, if you're oisir retzoinei shel mokoim, then all your work will be done for you. If you're not oisir retzoinei shel mokoim, then I'm afraid to say, v'osafta degonecho. Tosfos there says something very bizarre. He says, what does that mean? When you're not oisei retzoinei shel mokoim, then you're going to have to toil in the land in yourself. What does that mean? People not doing mitzvahs? Are we dealing with rishoyim? No. He says a cryptic statement. Of course they're listening to Torah and mitzvahs, but they're not doing the rotzen of Hashem. Listen to these two words. Kol kach. All that much. We're not dealing with tzaddikim versus rishoyim. Tzaddikim get their parnasa for free, and rishoyim don't. No, that's not the subject matter. Tzaddikim, who are oisin retzoinoi kol kach, in an extreme way, they will have their parnasa given them for free. Now, when you think about it, it must be that way. We all say this pasuk every day. V'osafta degonecho. What are the opening words of that perek in Shema? V'hoya im shomoya tishmu. So we're clearly talking about people who are listening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's absurd to suggest that the subject matter is Roshoim. That's what Tosfos means, that of course we're dealing with people who listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And they are oiser the rotzen of Hashem, but they are not being oiser the rotzen of Hashem kol kach, all that much. What does that mean? What does that mean? In order to understand Tosfos, we quote a Mesillas Yeshorim. The Mesillas Yeshorim tells us, imagine if you were a slave, and you are asked by your master, could you please bring me a piece of cake? So what would you do? You'd bring your master a piece of cake. Nothing more, nothing less. Have you been oisei retzoinoi? Have you fulfilled the will of your master? Absolutely so. And what would be if your father asks you to bring you a piece of cake? You'd bring him a piece of cake and a glass of water as well. What's the difference? They both listened to the instruction. But the son is coming out of ahava, out of love for his father. So he goes the extra mile. If my father is hungry, I presume he's thirsty as well. And therefore, I will not only bring him a piece of cake, I'll give him a glass of water as well. Says the Masilas Yesharim, if somebody toils and dedicates their life to Torah, that's the extreme in being Oisei Ritzonoi Shel Mokrin. In other words, there are two types of people who fulfill Hashem's will. There are those who do the Tariag Mitzvahs. Nothing more, nothing less. And there are those who, as it were, bring the glass of water themselves as well. They invest all their energy, every last moment that they can, in the toil of Torah. That's considered going the extra mile. That is what Tosfos means. V'hoya in Shamaya, v'osafta degonecha. It's not talking about Rishoyim. It's talking about people who listen to the instruction of Hashem, and that's what they carry out. Nothing more and nothing less. I'm sorry, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you want to play by the rules, absolutely nothing more and nothing less, you're going to have to go and toil, not as a punishment, but that's the deal. You have to go and toil in the field to gather your own grain. So, now we understand what Rav Shimon ben Yechai means. Rav Shimon ben Yechai says, I'm very concerned. If you're going to be Isaac in Harisha and Zriya, what's going to be with Torah? In other words, Moirai v'Raboisai, and this is tonight's Yesod, Rav Shimon ben Yechai's outlook on life was, it's not good enough merely to keep the mitzvahs, nothing more, nothing less. I've carried out the instructions. Rather, you've got to dedicate your every last moment to the toil of Torah. And if not, as he himself exclaimed, Tehoira, ma tehiolov, what will be with Torah? If you dedicate your life to Torah, as Tosfos calls, then you're being oisei ratzonoi kol kach, in an extreme way, says Rav Shimon ben Yechai, you won't need to toil in the land. It'll be given to you on a silver platter for free. Now let's come back to the story we began with. Rav Shimon ben Yechai leaves the cave, and what does he see? You wouldn't believe it. He sees people toiling and plowing the land. Now we understand why Rav Shimon ben Yechai got so upset. Because this is the exact antithesis of his whole hashkofa. His whole hashkofa is, you wouldn't need to be plowing the land if only you dedicated your life to Torah. And if I see that you're plowing the land, clearly you're being maniach chaye oilom. You've ignored the proper purpose of life, which is to dedicate your life to Torah. And rather, you're being oistik b'chaye sho'o. This is Rav Shimon ben Yechai's shita. If I see somebody toiling in the land, what's going on over here? Ah, clearly he has not dedicated his life to the full, to Torah. And that's my whole hashkofa, says Rav Shimon ben Yechai. And that's why he got so upset. If you only would have dedicated your life to Limud Torah, you wouldn't need to plow the land. So we understand the story. Now we need to ask ourselves a big question. We all need to stand in front of the mirror and ask ourselves, one second. We have a big machloikas over here. We have a machloikas, Rav Shimon ben Yechai says, do not toil the land. Dedicate your life to Torah. Rav Yishmael says, no, no, no. V'osafta degonecha. It's a machloikas. Who do we paskin like? Who's right? Do you know what the Gemara says there? The Gemara finishes off and says, many people, harbe, many people did like Rabbi Yishmael, but also Beyodon, and they were successful. They toiled the land and they lived a very wholesome life. Some tried like Rabbi Shimon ben Yechai, and it didn't work out for them. So it sounds like you read this Gemara, and the Gemara is telling us that who do we paskin like? Not like Rabbi Shimon ben Yechai. Many tried, and they were unsuccessful. They were unsuccessful. Many tried Rabbi Yishmael's route in life, and they were successful. Says Rav Chaim Volozhin, we mustn't make a mistake in understanding this Gemara. And Rav Chaim Volozhin, and this is very famously quoted, says, it's true, harbe, many did like Rabbi Yishmael. It's true, that may well be the picture for life, the Mahalach HaChaim for the Rabbim. Many did like Rabbi Yishmael. It doesn't mean that we simply delete Rabbi Shimon ben Yechai's Hashkafas HaChaim. It might not be too appropriate for the Rabbim, as the Gemara says, Rabbim tried like Rabbi Shimon ben Yechai and it didn't work out for them. So if we were to ask that question again, who do we paskin the halacha like? And the answer is, for the masses, for the Rabbim, the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon ben Yechai. There are Yechidim who indeed can dedicate their life to Torah. And the Mishnah Brura quotes this Lahalocha Moirai Barabosai. The Shulchan Aruch tells us that one should go to work, Yeleich La'asokov. Says the Bior Halocha there, that's true for the masses, but not necessarily for everyone. So again, Halocha Lamaisa. For most people, like Rabbi Yishmael. For Yechidim, like Rabbi Shimon ben Yechai. Comes along the Brisker Rav. And Moirai Barabosai, this is really what I'd like to share with you tonight. The Brisker Rav says, it's true. For most people, the correct route in life is, like Rabbi Yishmael, you have to toil, you have to work the land. For Yechidim, for individuals, like Rabbi Shimon ben Yechai. Who are these individuals? How do I know? Am I one of these individuals, or am I one of the Rabbim? I need to know. Halacha lemaisa. Am I supposed to be plowing the land, or not supposed to be plowing the land? You told me that it depends. Are you in the Rabbim group or the Yechidim? Well, how am I supposed to know? The Brisker Rav quotes the Rambam, and I think all of you, all of us, know this Rambam. The Rambam, in the very last halacha in Hilchos Shmita, tells us that Shevet Levi has no inheritance in Klal Yisrael. They have no source of Paranasa. Shevet Levi are the tribe that dedicate themselves to Limud Torah. So where do they get their Paranasa from? They get it from us. We sustain them. They don't have land. They don't have fields. They don't have a source of Paranasa. We are their source of Paranasa. So if the Rambam would end there, then what would we all say? Fine. So the Rabbim is most of Klal Yisrael. And who are the Yechidim? Who are those individuals who walk along the path of Rav Shimon ben Yechai? Those are Shevet Levi. Says the Rambam, the world famous words of the Heilige Rambam. These are the closing words in Hilchos Shmita. It says the Rambam, V'loi Shevet Levi Bilvad. Don't think that this is exclusive property of Shevet Levi. Rather, Kol Ish V'Ish. Every individual can stand up and decide that I want to be a Hoylech Yoshar. I want to walk straight, just as HaKadosh Baruch Hu created me. I will not have to be involved in cheshbonos of Paranasa. Do you know what happens to a person like that? He becomes like the Kodesh Kodshim. And all of his Parnasa needs will be taken care of. The Rambam over here has now, as it were, released the genie from the bottle. Do you know who the individuals are? Indeed, Shevet Levi. Does that mean that it's exclusive territory for Shevet Levi? No. Every individual can stand up and say, I want to be, as it were, a Levi. I want to follow the path of Rav Shimon ben Yochai. And if you do that, and you dedicate your life to Torah, all your parnasa needs will be taken care of. What's so fascinating to point out is that the Rambam, in describing this individual who's going to dedicate his life to Torah, says he'll be hoylech yoshar, he'll go straight without making cheshbonos. One second, that rings a bell. Where do those words come from? Do you know where they come from? It comes from a pasuk in Koheles, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I created es ha'odom yoshar. Odom Arishon. How was Odom Arishon created? Where did he get his parnasa from? On a silver platter by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was surrounded by Gan Eden. He had all of his parnasa. Until he started making cheshbonos, and that's when the Aveira kicked in, and then he got a klala. And what was his curse? I'm sorry to tell you, says Hashem, Bezeyas apecho toichal lechem. From now on, by the sweat of your brow will you eat bread. Those are the words that the Rambam is choosing. If you want to be a Levi, if you want to follow the path of Rav Shimon ben Yochai, you can have a throwback to when? To Odom HaRishon in Gan Eden. Hoylech Yoshar. If everything goes serene, calm and straight, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us, then we can all live in Gan Eden. But the decision is ours. In other words, if we want to know Halacha L'maisa, the psak for the rabbim, the masses, is like Rav Yishmael. For individuals, it's like Rav Shimon ben Yochai. And who are those individuals? It could well be me and you. It could be anybody, as the Rambam says, who makes that decision to follow the path of Rav Shimon ben Yochai. Because Rav Shimon ben Yochai, his hashkofa, his outlook in life was to be like Odom HaRishon before the Chait. Like Odom HaRishon before the Chait. So now let's come back to the story we began with. Rav Shimon ben Yochai comes out of the cave. And what does he say? He sees people plowing in the land. Why are you plowing in the land? Why have you opted for a life of Odom HaRishon post Aveira? Why didn't you opt for a life of Odom HaRishon prior to the Chait? Now listen to this. Hold on to your chairs. Listen to the Loshna Gemara again. It's unbelievable. The Gemara says, when Rav Shimon ben Yochai came out of the cave, I'm sorry, in the Gemara that says, V'osafta d'gonecho, and Rav Shimon ben Yochai says, I can't accept that. Odom Choyresh B'Shas Harisha. Ah, Odom. Do you want to be an Odom Choyresh person? Do you want to be an Odom Harisha in post-Chait? Why would you want to do that? What's going to be with Torah? Why don't you follow my path, says Rav Shimon ben Yochai, which is the path of Shevet Levi, which the Rambam assured us we can all attach ourselves to. And if we can all attach ourselves to, why would you want to opt for a different life? If I may just add, we read from the Rambam that if you dedicate your life to Torah like Shevet Levi, you become sanctified like Kodesh Kodshim. Moirai v'raboisai, what was in the Kodesh Kodshim? There was a little flask of mon. That's what the Rambam means. If you dedicate your life to Torah, then you will be sustained like Klal Yisrael in the Midbar, through the mon. Through the mon. If you look in your Sidurim after this Shir, when you sing that song of Bar Yochai, there's one line, it says there in the Piyut, Bar Yochai B'Kodesh HaKodoshim. According to the way we've explained, it's Hafla Vofela. Reb Shimon ben Yochai lived a Kodesh Kodshim life. A life dedicated to Torah, and he was sustained by that little flask of mon, supernaturally, in the Kodesh Kodshim. Reb David Cohen says there in conclusion a quite mind-blowing thing. It is very well known that the Chasam Sofer was vehemently against all celebration of Lag BaOmer. Specifically, going to the Kever in Miron, in one place he writes incredibly, maybe that's why there was an earthquake in Tzfas. The Chasam Sofer is very against the whole idea. If Rav Shimon ben Yochai really passed away on that day, why would you celebrate? And then the Chasam Sofer writes at the end of that Shuva, and he says, actually, I made a calculation, and you wouldn't believe it. On Lag BaOmer is exactly the day when Klal Yisrael started eating mon. So maybe it's a day you can celebrate after all. So Reb David Cohen, in his utter genius in the Sefer there, says, when you read that Chasam Sofer simply, what does it sound like? He's rejecting the celebration of Reb Shimon ben Yochai and introducing the celebration of the Mon. Says Reb David Cohen, it's all the same thing. It's quite unbelievable. Because the day that Klal Yisrael started eating the mon, that is a celebration of Rav Shimon ben Yochai. Because he lived the Kodesh Kodshim life. And the Kodesh Kodshim life is the life in which you dedicate all of your chayim to be chaye oilam. You're sustained by that little tzinsenes hamon. That's what we're celebrating on Lag BaOmer. So maybe we can come back now to our original question. Pretty much everything we said now is there in Reb David Cohen's paper, plus he's got another 25 pages on the subject. We asked the question in the beginning. Reb Shimon ben Yochai came out of the cave and was upset that people were involved in plowing the land. And what did he see a year later? There was a chavivus ha-mitzvahs. For which mitzvah? Shabbos. And that calmed him down. Why Shabbos? Maybe we can suggest when the Torah writes Sheishes Yomim Tavoy Vosiso Kol Malachtecho, and Rashi says, do you know what happens on Shabbos? Consider Ki'ilu Malachtecho Asuya. Shabbos is the one day of the week that indeed we're not toiling. We're not plowing the land. It's the day that our parnosa is provided for free. What do Chazal say? Any money you spend on Shabbos is all paid right back by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shabbos Kodesh, it's on the house. Shabbos Kodesh is on the house. Do you know why? What do we do on Shabbos? As the Gemara tells us, Loi nitnu Shabbosois elo. Why was Shabbos given for us? Lasek bohen divrei Torah. Now we understand why Reb Shimon ben Yochai was so delighted when he saw Klal Yisrael not just keep Shabbos, but treasure Shabbos. Ah, you finally come around to my hashkofa. You understand the importance of Shabbos. You understand the value of dedicating your time to Limud Torah. And what do we eat on Shabbos, Moirav Raboisai? Lecha Mishma, Zeichatu, the Mon. That's what Shabbos is all about. And I'll tell you a little secret. I did a search on my Bar Ilan, and I found a Shlor in Chulin who writes, Shabbos is called the Kodesh Kodshim. Dvorim Nifloim B'Yosa. That's what Shabbos is all about. Shabbos is that Kodesh Kodshim. It's the day that we're sustained by the Mon. We eat the Lecha Mishnah Zecher Lamon. And that, finally, Rav Shimon ben Yechai's Yishuv Hadas, I see the Klal Yisrael have come round. Not just Shmira Shabbos, but Chavivus HaShabbos. They clearly, finally understand that indeed they can live a life of Limud Torah and eat that mon, and therefore not have to toil and be Oisek B'Chayei Shor. So in summary, what we're really being taught is that every individual can stand up and say, I want to be a Levi. I want to live the Hashkafa of Rav Shimon ben Yechai. I want to live like Adam HaRishon, Kedem HaChet. And if I do so, then my Parnosa will come my way all that easier. It's true, that's not necessarily suitable for the Rabbi. And there may be people listening to this shir who are asking themselves, can I really be that yochid? And the answer is, the Rambam said, everybody can be that yochid. Even if it doesn't mean learning 18 hours a day. But a commitment to a Torah way of life, that's what we're dealing with. Nobody's going to starve. HaKadosh Baruch Hu organizes Parnasa for everybody. Everybody will have their parnasa. Do you want to have to work 16 hours a day to have your parnasa? Would you rather HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides it like mon? The decision is yours. Let me just finish with a phenomenal moshel that I heard recently. The moshel I heard recently, as stated by one of the great Chassidish Rebbeim. The story is told, as he put it, of the poor man who's starving hungry. And he says, he meets somebody and says, listen, I'm absolutely famished. Do you know anybody who might help me out and give me a meal? And he says, yes, you're in luck. There is a very great philanthropist in our town. I'll tell you where he lives. You walk down the road, you turn right, you turn left, round the corner, you'll be there in 3 minutes. Knock on his door, and you won't believe your luck. You'll be brought into this hall. It's an absolute banquet. It's all for free on the house. Okay? Wonderful. He follows the instructions, turns right, left, round the corner. He sees a door there. He knocks on the door. Somebody answers. He says, I'm starving hungry. Could you give me some food, please? And the fellow says, sure. If you work for me for the day, I'll give you some food. That's not what he was expecting. But he hasn't got a choice. So he works hard, he slogs, and at the end of the day he comes back to the Balabais and says, listen, I was told that you provide food. I've worked for you all day. Can you give me the food, please? He says, sure. Just look, go around the corner, you'll see a big door there. Enter the door, help yourself. He knocks on that door, and indeed there's a banqueting hall there. And it's a sudas. Shloima Melech B'Shaitoi, and he tucks in a Suda like he's never seen. He sees lots of other people there in his hall, and he thinks to himself, one moment, I didn't see any of them working. I was told I'm going to work hard all day, and then I get the free meal. It wasn't for free, I earned it. What about all these people? So he taps one of them on the shoulder and he says, if you don't mind me asking, did you work for this meal? And he says, no, I got it for free. He says, one second, something doesn't add up. I knocked on this person's door, and he says, I can have a meal, but only if I work for the day. But you didn't work for the day. And the person says to him, oh, no, you knocked on the wrong door. He's the local town swindler. You knocked on the left-hand side door, not on the right-hand side door. That's his great ploy. He knows that his neighbor is the great big Baal Stocker. And he waits there lurking for people to knock on his door. He gets them to work for him all day, and then he sends you to his neighbor's banqueting suite. Said the Rebbe, Everybody ends up in the banqueting suite at the end of the day. The question is, which door are you going to knock on? Are you going to knock on the door where you get it for free? Or are you going to knock on the door where you're going to have to work hard for? That's really what Rav Shimon ben Yochai is teaching us. It's well known, Rabbi Eliashiv Zichrono Livracha used to talk about it. He said, anybody, alas, who opens their eyes sees this, the Olam HaTorah is sustained miraculously. There is no rhyme or reason or rationale how your average Avreich can really survive month to month. But believe me, friends, I could sit here for 10 hours telling you stories, one after another, of miracles that many Avreichim live by month by month. Month by month. I'll just tell you one because we have to close. I don't want to say the name. It's an Avreich you all know. He davens and learns in the Gros Shul. He told me once that he struggles month to month, but he just about gets by. His wife's mother unfortunately passed away in the United States, and it was decided his wife has to go and sit Shiva in America. If you book a last minute ticket to America, it's extremely expensive. $2,000 or so. He hadn't a clue how he was going to raise the funds. But whatever, it has to be done. He gets a phone call. He's on his way to the Levaya. The Levaya was in Yerushalayim. The Shiva was going to be in America. He gets a phone call. He's just about to leave the house. He picks up the phone. It's a friend of his who used to be in Koilel together with him. Oh, how are you? He says, listen, I can't really speak now. I'm just on my way to the Levaya of my mother-in-law. He says, I just need to tell you something. You'll remember when I was in Koilel with you about 10 years ago, I was looking for an apartment, and you helped me find an apartment. And I was always determined to give you something for it. Halachically, I have to pay. So I don't know why I forgot. I just remembered now. I'd like to send you money, $2,000. That's what this Avreich told me. He said he hadn't a clue where the money was going to come from. HaKadosh Baruch Hu landed it on his head. There was once an Avreich in Koilel who was scraping by, and he decided enough was enough. He's going for the cushy life. So he went to work, and all of a sudden his fridge broke. And then his dryer broke. And then he had mold. And then this broke, and that broke. And he ran to Rav Shach, and he said, Rabbeinu, I don't understand. Why am I getting such a terrible punishment? Because I left Koilel, that's why I'm getting such a punishment. The whole house is falling apart. Said Rav Shach, it's not a punishment at all. It's a normal thing. A fridge eventually goes. A dryer eventually goes. As long as you dedicated your life to Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu prevented all of those things from happening. When you left the way of Torah, then you had a bit of a backlog. So all these things began falling apart. It's not a punishment. Let there not be a misunderstanding. It's true at the end of the day. It's clear, as Rav Chaim Volozhin paskin for us, and the Mishnah Brura paskin for us. This is not the way of life for the masses. Nobody should leave this shir with a guilt feeling, why am I not sitting learning 18 hours a day in Koilo? But if this does generate a guilt feeling, could I dedicate my life slightly more to Torah? Then it will be L'Tayalas. As the Rambam teaches us, everybody, without an exception, can make more exertion in the area of Torah study. And if one does that, one lives a life of mon. One will inevitably see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends that Siyata Deshmaya. You end up living a life of Kodesh Kodshim, of Shevet Levi, of Odoi Marishim, Kodem Achet. You end up living a life of Shabbos Kodesh. All week long, it's Shabbos Kodesh. And that, my friends, is the life and the legacy of Rav Shimon ben Yochai.
Good.